Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic View. Psychic View. On PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. With your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Sharon Bradley. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hi, welcome this evening. My name is Jackie Hahn, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, and simulcasting live on Uber Radio Network. This evening, we'll be talking to our special guest, Colette Baron-Reid, intuitive counselor, motivational speaker, radio personality, recording artist, and author of many books, including her newly released The Map, Finding the Magic and Meaning in the Story of Your Life. But before we get to that, I'm going to like to introduce my co-host this evening. First, with Steve Frampton. Welcome, Steve. Okay, perhaps he's not ready. We'll move on then to Sharon. Sharon, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to the show.
Okay, thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Sharon?
Sure. I'm a psychic, and I do readings on Psychic Access, which I really enjoy. And I don't use any tools, so I'm just able to see and hear. So that's the way I do it.
And that's the way you do it.
That's the way you do it.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for
Thank
that.
Thank you.
And we'll move on to Maureen Halloran, the other, another co-host. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Jackie. Another, whatever she is.
No.
Yeah. Yes, this is who I am. My name is.
Can you tell? Please tell us about yourself.
Sure. Okay, let me think here. Okay, I'm an intuitive. I am a tarot reader. Actually, I'm a tarologist, is what I call myself. And I am also all the other things, all the C's, and you know, all that stuff. And I work on PsychicAccess.com as well. And I've been reading for over 20 years, and I'm self-taught in every way, and I help people help themselves.
Wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate you sharing that about yourself. Steve, are you with us yet, Steve? Okay. Sorry, guys. We will get to Steve in a little bit. I think he's having a little tech issues. Again, my name is Jackie Hahn. I'm also a reader here at PsychicAccess.com. I work closely with the angelic realm. I bring through the energy of the angels in my readings and sessions with my clients. I find there's a lot of compassionate energy. I mean, especially dealing with some of these kind of sensitive topics where people are coming to us with things that are very personal. And sometimes we have to share with them answers that they may not want to hear. So I always ask the angels to come through, you know, as clear and help me be as clear as a channel in delivering that message to them. So, and that's a little bit about myself. We will just move on here, and I promise we will talk to Steve in a little bit. So, anyway, I'm honored to have the opportunity to interview our special guest tonight, Colette Baron-Reid. Colette is an internationally renowned intuitive counselor, educator, best-selling Hay House author who helps others recognize and connect with their own intuition, potential, and purpose. Powerful motivational speaker, charismatic broadcast personality, and acclaimed performer, storyteller, and recording artist. Colette uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower her clients to live a life that is awake and authentic, and to create a reality that is spiritual, deliberate, and meaningful. Through a 22-year practice that has been built strictly by word of mouth, Colette has advised over 50,000 clients in 29 countries around the world. toured for 3 years as the opening speaker with Hay House. Colette has provided her insight and compassionate delivery as messages as an intuitive counselor and life strategist in front of over 150,000 people. For more information about Colette Baron-Reid, please visit her website at www.ColetteBaronReid.com. It's all one word, her name. And be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our show on premonitions last week, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals possible, so we appreciate you sharing that link. Anyway, without further ado, welcome to the show, Colette.
Thank you so much for having me. I've just been having so much fun going through your website. I love the no scam zone.
Well, thank you for that. And we really take a lot of pride, and Doug, our producer behind the scenes, is the one to thank for that. But we really appreciate that comment, Colette. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I like it because, you know what I like is that you put something up front, which is something I've struggled with for years, which, you know, I only started recently being comfortable with the word psychic. I mean, you guys are no problem with it, because that's one of the reasons I call myself an intuitive for so long, because of the kind of the stereotype. But, you know, if we want to change a stereotype, we don't need to change the language. We just need to be the people who are honest, no scam, you know, and talented or whatever. And so I really appreciate and support you guys in what you're doing.
Well, thank you. And that means a lot to us. And I speak on behalf of everybody, so I'm sure they're thinking the same thing.
And I'm a psychic, too.
You know, I was going to ask you that question. It's funny you brought that up. So I'm going to just jump in. So what transpired with you being preferring more the intuitive than the psychic? Is because of the connotation attached to that
word?
Yeah.
Well, I came, you know, for me, it's really a personal struggle, just so not so much a general struggle. It was more personal. And I was raised in a academic household. I went to, you know, private girls' schools. I struggled with wanting to belong my whole life. I never felt like I belonged anywhere. And I, you know, I had so much pushback when I started doing this for a living, and I know what I do is authentic. I'm very skeptical. I would never do anything that's BS, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know there's integrity behind what I do. But I did find that, you know, people would be very charged. The word psychic has so much charge to it because of the connotations, the social connotations, the fact that, you know, even certain religious factions, I mean, we could all be beheaded if we went to Saudi Arabia, every one of us here, right? It's illegal. You know, born-again Christians think we're spawns of the devil or whatever. So I figured, believe it or not, I thought, well, no, I'm not that. I'm an intuitive. And so I felt that it was a lot more acceptable to use that term. But I got to tell you this, you know, I struggled with it, but then I realized that what I was struggling with really wasn't the language and the limitation of the language. It was really what people's beliefs around that was. Mm. And then I had a really great epiphany. I went to the Oprah Winfrey Network, and they actually called me and to come and talk to them about doing a show. And nice. So I went and I talked to them. I went there twice. Talked to them twice, 2 days in a row, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get a show on Oprah. Oh, yes, I'm not a psychic. Oh, no. You know what I mean? Oh, no, I'm not one of those. Meanwhile, I talk to dead people. Hello. Right? It's like, I'm a tarot card expert. Hello. But I'm not. Right. Like, no, I'm not one of those. You know, I create my, like, come on, right? Who was I kidding? But the best part was that when I didn't get the show, because no matter what I labeled myself as, what I am was still too woo-woo for them, and I'm so not woo-woo. And I'm like, I'm a psychic, okay? Like, you know, like, so, so, I mean, I've had other psychics talk to me about their own discomfort with the word, too. I'm not alone. I mean, but, and then others that don't care, that's what they are. But it was such an epiphany for me to just own it after 22 years of just saying, you know what? I don't care what, if this is what I am. I'm proud of it. And if I want to be, if I want to be a representative of something that doesn't have the stereotype, if I don't want to be the stereotype, I just have to be me. I don't have to change the word.
Right. And that's wonderful. And I hear you wholeheartedly. And yeah, and I hope that, you know, we can get that message out to people that make a difference, you know, and try to change the way things used to be with the term psychic. I mean, it's a label, but it's like that energy behind it. It's just so like, yuck, yeah, you know,
it's like, when do you say, if you say I'm a lawyer, nobody says to you, I don't believe in that. Right?
Right? Yeah.
Like say, well, hey, you know, somebody meets you, you know what I'm saying? Like, or I'm a doctor, I don't believe in that. But if you say I'm a psychic, I don't believe in that. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And, it's funny because, you know, I really am very proud of who I am, and I'm very proud of what I have achieved. In spite of the fact that I've tried to call myself a million things left of Sunday, you know, but I believe that, you know, that this is a viable service. What you guys do is a viable service, what I do. And it is unusual because it's not something you can go and train and do. You have to have the, and I mean, you can train, obviously you can train to hone this, but many, we are born to this. And I really do believe that those of us who work this way are born to do it. And I call it a yelling, not a calling, right? So,
you know, I love that.
You know, people say, I have the calling. I'm like, really? Mine yelled at me. and it really does make us, I think all of us, and I mean, I know this because I work with other intuitives, and I use the word intuitive, and I go between psychic and intuitive. It doesn't really matter. It's just I'm used to it now. But, you know, and we all have had some history that has been troublesome, that has brought us to a place where we are compelled to help others. And so the connotation of this, of our profession, we are really a minority, and we're an unorganized minority, okay? So, because many of us don't want anything to do with each other too, right? It's like, oh, I don't want to know them. Right? So it's having this, like what you've done is having this community, and having a community that's viable and that's legitimate and that it's really helpful, where those of us who, we all do different things, but we're all the same at the same time, right? And we can really do this in a way that's, you know, authentic. I think I'm rambling now. I have menopause.
Oh, no problem. It's wonderful to hear you talk, and I, you know, certainly love your energy that you're bringing to the show. So, no, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Where are you guys? Are you on the East Coast?
Well, me personally, yes, but we're sort of scattered around. The producer here is on the East Coast, so
right,
it
right,
airs
right.
live
I just moved to
all
Coast.
Over.
I can hear it in your voice. It's got either a little Bronxy or a little New Jersey.
little Joysy going on.
Joysy. Yeah, no, I just moved to New Hampshire and from Sedona, Arizona. So I'm really, I've got that ear now for the East Coast voice.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, welcome to the East Coast. Now, is it a welcome back, or you were from here?
No, I'm from Toronto originally, and I got to Hay House, which is really interesting too, because I kicked and screamed. I find the fact that I'm this successful hysterical, because I never wanted to do this. I wanted to be a singer. Okay, like I used to tell people, I don't really do this. Don't come back next year. You know, like I'm going to have a record deal. You'll see me singing. I will not be talking to your dead grandmother. You know, so it's like it's fascinating that I kept pursuing something else, and this happened. But when I got to Hay House, I got a visa to come to the U.S. And so we immediately went to Sedona, which was so beautiful and so wonderful for 3 years. But, you know, the Torontonians, we're very East Coast kind of people. It's like New York, New Jersey. So I really wanted the adventure of being able to come to the sea coast.
Nice.
And that's what I did.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I want to ask you a few questions here.
Yeah.
And there's so much going on, but for people that are, you know, listening in, and, you know, we talked a little bit about intuition, and it's kind of the topic of the show, but would you share more with us about how that works and how people can learn, you know, to trust it more, and what's that all about for people that...
Sure. I mean, I think there's different levels. And again, when we use the word intuition, it sort of takes it into a much broader everybody has it mode. And, you know, we aren't taught to recognize that still voice within us that challenges the intellect and logic. And so intuition is really the creative, I believe it comes from the creative mind, the creative soul-based mind. It's the part of us that knows without thinking, that sees without looking, and that hears hears without hearing, or hears without listening. So it enables us to know things in advance or about something. I've seen retrocognition, for example. I think what I should do is just kind of go through the different forms of it that people will be able to identify it. So by telling my story. So all of us have this, and we don't always know what it is, but, you know, so some people just might meet somebody. Say you meet somebody, and all of a sudden there's something about them that just bugs you, right? You don't know why, but then if you do a little research or digging later on, you find out that they have a certain history that, you know, that doesn't resonate with your own, so that they might be a person that you just wouldn't get along with, right? You just know when you don't know. And even if they're perfectly coiffed and beautifully dressed, there's something about them. And that's an access of claircognizance, when you just know something, right? But you don't intellectually know it. And so that's the kind of intuition most of us really need to listen to more, which is when then we overthink it after the fact, right? We sit, and I still do too. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I just did that. Like, I do this for a living, right? So so when we don't listen, right, it's like, oh man, I knew that. How often do we say that? How often, right?
You know, a lot.
Man, I knew that, and we didn't do it. So it's learning how to recognize it is the other one, because I think our society goes so quick that we don't stay still long enough to recognize the nudge. And also because we're not taught to respect it. That's the other thing. We are really not taught to respect it. We are taught to second guess it, or to degrade it in some way, because it's not logical, scientific, academic, intellectual, reasonable, right? So the idea of the age of reason took away our connection to the mystery and the mystical. I keep staring at Avalon's star. Her picture is there. And I guess because Avalon is something I'm kind of obsessed with. I'm just seeing her photograph on your featured psychics of the hour, right? That's Avalon, for example, was that place in history when the legendary place where you know, the matriarchal culture taught that was part of society, that was part of the mystery. Everybody recognized that there was a mystery, and today there is no mystery, and the only place and that's what intuition taps into, is that unknowable mystery, where you can know it at the level of intuition, but not at the level of intellect. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a shaky road, for lack of better words, to go down, because most people would be like, well, how do you know? Well, I just don't know. But then trusting that,
exactly.
How do you trust that?
You have
that?
To learn to not be afraid of it. So what I have learned, and for anybody here who does readings, for example, any of you girls that are doing readings, or gentlemen, you know, one of the things that I always tell people is, don't be afraid to be wrong. And just ask. You know, so it's like, not to be afraid, because the minute we contract, that's when the road gets shaky. So I get a glimpse of something and I say, okay, does that make sense? Because that's one of the reasons you'll hear me say in readings too, I'll say, does that make sense to you? I hope that makes sense, because I don't know if it makes any sense to me, but I just know what I know and I see it, and then you let it go. So the idea too is not to be too attached to it. And then you start to learn that your intuition has its own language. And so in order to be friends with it, you have to have a kind of a dance with it. It's like dancing with a partner that is leading you, and you have to kind of follow the steps and say, okay, I'm going to go anyway, even though I don't know what I'm doing. So and that's still how I am. I'm never 100% sure of anything, but I'm 100% sure that I will get very accurate imagery, and then my interpretation of it can be half-assed backwards sometimes, but I know that that's true because I've done it often enough times to know that this image is true. Now, what is difficult for people is when they have an emotional attachment or lack of objectivity. That's why it's so much easier to read someone else. Like I have to get a reading from someone else because I can't tell for myself from, you know, I'll go, no, I don't want that. That's wrong. Right. So,
right.
So, you know, so, and I'm okay with that. When I was a kid, my first experience with retrocognition, which is something that I'm noticing more and more with my clients' children, they tell me about this, where when I was a kid, I picked up all this information from my mother that was a secret, and it was about her heritage, and it was coming to me through nightmares from the ages of 3 and 5. And that was the first time my psychic abilities really started to be obvious. Now, you know, anybody can have this, but for me, it was really, really, really extreme. I dreamt of a man, really skinny, looking like a skeleton, crying at a table with a pile of teeth, like my baby teeth. I'd already lost my baby teeth at that point. I knew what they were. And then another pile of little gold sparkly things, crying, and then the same skinny guy being shoved into an oven, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we were raised Christians, and we found out later in my 20s that the dream, that my mom never wanted to pick me up, by the way, when I had the dream. It turns out my mom was Jewish, so which would have made us Jews, right? She didn't tell us, but I had seen that. I'd seen all these things, and my grandfather had been killed in Dachau, and it was common practice for the SS officers to have the gold pulled from the teeth pulled from the whoever was going to be put into the ovens, and the teeth were pulled before they went in, sometimes, or taken after, depending if they were lazy, and they kept the gold to make jewelry for their girlfriends and wives.
Oh, gosh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? But now that was extreme, but we can have these retrocognitive experiences, and that's what I like to show people how to do through meditation, and then just to be open. And that's what I'm going to be doing at Psychic Bootcamp, actually, at Omega. And I'm doing Psychic 2.0 Bootcamp. I just had a week in Costa Rica. It was amazing. So I'm having a weekend at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, and teaching people all these different techniques. And the more you do it, the more, like, you can just know something about someone's past if they give you permission, and you sit there and, do psychometry. You can know all kinds of things about that person. And so that's an access we all have. All of us have that. And can be honed, if you will, like a skill, the more you do it. But you also have to have willing participants. You can't go up to some guy in the subway going, "Hey, was your grandfather named George?"
Right.
Right.
That is so funny. That is funny.
You can't do that.
Now, they probably look at you like you have two heads anyway, right?
So it's having these safe communities to practice in.
Right. And that's very important. And, you know, is that something that you obviously would encourage people, you know, they're starting out, or they're just saying, you know, I want to develop more of my intuition, or just have it as more of a polished skill in their everyday life? I mean, they don't need to do readings per se, you know, just to start to trust it.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry I interrupted you. You're right.
That's
and
okay.
I mean, everybody can do this, and they can do it for fun too. But yes, of course. But it's once you have done it often enough, it becomes a location, and so this location is a place within you that you recognize. And of course, you don't. You know, you're not looking to get information about somebody else necessarily, but you want to get information about the next right action, right? And so you definitely can use your intuition. As long as you recognize where it sits in you, that's why I call it a location. Mm. It's like a location on a map, right? So there's this place in you, and this is what it feels like. And for everybody, it's different. Some people pick it up in their solar plexus. Some people feel it in their chest. I get it like goosebumps, and I'll hear it like a hollow sound on my right ear. And I started to I'm kind of different because I'm sort of odd to this. Like you are, you know what I'm saying? We're just like extreme versions of, like, I can't count, you know what I'm saying?
Right, so, right.
I can.
You can't
I can
be bothered with those little things in life, you know.
Making toast, eggs, and something else all at the same time is enough to make me cry. But I sure as heck can tell you if you lost your wallet somewhere in another country where it is.
Right. The things that matter.
You know. And I just like kidding around. You know, I'm kibitzing. But, you know, for anybody who's just interested in developing this, I mean, there are meditation is number one priority. I used to meditate 90 minutes a day. I don't now because it gets me too crazy. But for anybody who doesn't need to meditate that long, right, Colette? What?
We don't need to meditate that long. How would you suggest people to find?
No, but I did. But I'm such an addict. I do everything to the extreme. I mean, I'm 25 years clean and sober, and so my history is addiction. And prior to me getting clean and sober, so if anybody tells me something's going to work, I just do it 50,000 times more. But definitely not. No, nobody has to do that like I did. But that actually helped me in the beginning. When I was doing readings, I did 2 45-minute sessions a day, and that gave me such incredible access to that intuitive realm. But I did that for a living and still do. So I don't encourage that for you know, anybody who just wants to develop it. But I do encourage at least 15 minutes a day, you know, morning and night, to get to that moment of emptiness and then start to recognize the location of that emptiness. And that's where intuition will come through effortlessly.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Is it important to, I saw some of your YouTube videos and I'm familiar with your work, and I love how you talked about the goblins. I don't want to just change gears here, but
no, I can, by, yeah.
Giving it an identity and a name, would you say that would be a good thing to do with your intuition as well? This way you kind of own it, as you were saying before.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, of course. That would be really cool, like to have it speak to you. Well, I think that's what some people... Now, I'm going to say something controversial, because this is just me theorizing at the moment, right? So I don't want anybody to get their back up going, oh, I can't believe she said that. But you know how we say we have guides? Right, and we have this idea that there are guides, and I believe there are guides, but you can imagine that your intuition is like a guide, right? Or maybe that is the guide. I mean, we don't always. I mean, people always ask me, "What's the name of my spirit guide?" I'm like, I don't know. Some people do. I don't. I thought it was when I toured with Sylvia Brown. She's like, your spirit guide's name is Monty. And they come up to me and goes, what's my spirit guide's name? I'm like, hell, I don't know. Mine just talked to me once. So it's like, you know, so it's all different. Each of us is different. So, but yeah, the naming something and dialoguing with that makes it come alive. Sorry, I'm just blabbing away here tonight.
No, that's okay. And I know the goblin, I know, is a big part, you know, when I hear people
very
say,
much.
How do I know if it's my intuition or my ego? Like, how would you help people differentiate that?
Well, the goblin represents the wounded ego, and it comes from the fairy tale Rumpelstiltskin, which was the point of Rumpelstiltskin's, the message, the greater message of that fairy tale was that if you don't name your goblin, your firstborn will belong to it. And that's the point. If I can't name my goblin or my wound, then what I do unconsciously will be owned by that part of me, right? So my behavior, my choices, that's what that comes from. So the goblin is very specific to the wound. The ego, there's different forms of it. You know, the ego self, the self that wants what it wants, and is a form of a goblin, if you will, I guess, because it's cut off and it's separated from the wholeness of being. So, you know, there's something called wishful thinking, which of course is the ego department, and then there's true intuition. Well, you'll find it in the evidence. Is this true or is this not true? Because hindsight is the thing that's 20/20. So you find out after the fact and you realize like, yeah, that was really something I wanted rather than something that was true. And that's how you tell. That is also a really great exercise to tell if this is your ego or your intuition. And that intuition will always, always feel in your body like the truth. Like just is. The truth just is. Truth is truth. Whereas wishful thinking or the ego feels like a lie. And the way you test it is by tell the truth enough times so you know what it feels like in your body and where is the location of truth in my body and where does it move around and how does it feel? And then how does it feel for me to tell a blatant lie? And you keep, if you lie long enough, you'll recognize the sensation is very, very different physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, than it is telling the truth. One is very relaxed and present and just like it rings like a bell, and the other one is contrived and has energy to it, like you get high on it. So that's how you can really tell whether something is intuition or whether something is the ego, is one is the truth and the other one is a lie.
Right. And even if the truth is something that you may not want to hear, it still would feel, you would know in your heart, you know, in your soul that hey, this is still the truth.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Well, wonderful. So listen, I know you have this great, amazing book that just came out, The Map, and it was released earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
In January, Colette?
I think it was, yes, the end of January, if I can remember. Yes, it was. And I know, and it got to number one it had one day it was number one. it was number two for like 2 days. So I can actually say out loud that I had a number one bestseller. And we actually
congratulations.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing. And I have to say that it's not just because it was a bestseller that it was so great, because crap can be bestsellers. But it's really the culmination of my life's work. And everything that I put into that book is what I've been working on and what I've been observing in people's lives in the past 22 years as an intuitive or as a psychic, and also through my workshops, my intensives, that I've created the template of this book from the intensives. So and it's got everything. It's got imagination. It is intuitive, but it really brings in some unique archetypal teachings which no one's talked about yet, which is landscapes.
Wow. And what is that? Like, could you just share a little bit more about what's in your book and what that means to people who don't understand?
The book is called The Map, Finding the Magic and Meaning in the Story of Your Life. And I came up with that many years ago when I was still trying to figure out what I was. I considered that when I was doing readings for people, I was looking at a map of their life, their story. So it was as if I was seeing their journey through the time of their lives and seeing where they had visited and the experiences that they had. And so I considered myself a bit of a spiritual cartographer, which is a map maker. So I would draw a map for someone, say, see, here's where you were, and here's what's still in the trunk of your car. So, you know, here's what you collected along the way. And so, you know, and we all know about the journey, and the hero's journey was something I was fascinated with, the Joseph Campbell work. And of course, Carl Jung's work on archetypes and symbolism, because Jung was very much interested in divination, the I Ching, etc. So those two influences got me thinking about the hero's journey, if in fact that's true. And of course, I'm not the first person to have written about, you know, archetypes, but everybody else has written about personas. Or like if, you know, I'm the warrior, I'm the wounded child, I'm the wounded healer, I'm the scapegoat. And these are sacred contracts, for example, and Debbie Ford's shadow process, all of which are very instrumental and great for people's healing. But I started wondering, well, if the hero has 1,000 faces, like these personality archetypes that we recognize also, you know, we know what an archetype is, a universal symbol that all of us recognize no matter of language, right? So I say, well, you know, what about if the hero had 1,000 faces? What if he went to 1,000 places? After all, he is on a journey. Did anybody ever think of that? So could we not then take our heads out of our belly buttons, because truly everything up to this point, we've been so fixated on ourselves, me, 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 and instead look outward, even though it's an inward place. So instead of saying, I am a victim, describe the feelings of victim, the belief, the thoughts, the feelings of that as a landscape you inhabit, like it's a location. Because we do inhabit our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, more so than you inhabit that chair. You and I could be sitting side by side together in a room and in a beautiful, sunny, you know, gorgeous place. And one of us could be, you know, in Happyville, and the other one could be so pissed off at their boyfriend, they're sitting in a rainstorm. You know what I'm saying, right?
So, sure.
Which environment is more powerful? What's the environment of the mind? And it's the environment of the psyche and the psychic mind, the psychic realm that we inhabit is much greater. The consciousness is greater than the physical. That's how we access what we do when we do readings, right? And that's what the tarot is. The tarot is a symbolism. It's a language of symbolism. So the book was based on the idea that we travel through universal landscapes, and that when we find ourselves in any particular landscape more often than not, it means that there is treasure for us to recognize. Mm-hmm. So if we're in a period of a desert for a long period, you know, if many of us say, oh, I've been in a desert, there's nothing here, it's so dry. I say, well, then what is the gift of the desert? You know, so in a regular absolute world, in the natural world, which we've become so disenfranchised from, if we can reconnect to the outer environment by looking at our internal and learning the gifts of that by somehow seeing the parallels between our inner life and our outer world. And so we go into this magical place, because once our imagination gets going, and the psyche is fascinating because you don't even have to be creative. I mean, your mind is going to tell you stuff as soon as you ask it to. And when I say mind, it's the soul is using the imagination and the subconscious mind to tell you the true stories that you can't access through language. You can't describe it well enough, because it's deeper than what you can actually say and label, like the idea of label. So instead, you tell this symbolic story of where you really are, and then you see things so much more deeply and more meaningfully. And then I have these characters that you meet within yourself of the bone collector, which helps you retrieve the things that you believe you've lost. The gentle gardener, which is the part of you that is the thinker, the thinking part that actually plants a field of dreams, like the motives, the intentions, the piece of us that we create reality from, that's right, coherent with that. And then, of course, the goblin, which is the part of us that all of us have wounds that we want to disown. And this part of ourselves is, we have to make peace with this. So I take the reader through all kinds of exercises so that they can actually get into this magical map and start to see their lives as a journey of really deep meaning, and really gets you out of yourself too. That's the other thing. It gets you a completely different position of an observer rather than I'm feeling. Instead, I am looking at a rainstorm, or I am, you know, I am at the edge of a cliff, and then I see this, and then you start to be the one that's seeing and observing and watching, and it becomes a very, very different experience of your life.
Wow. Well, Colette, we need to take a quick break, but thank you so much for all that, and I want to pick up where we left off, but we need to take a quick commercial break. A word from our sponsors from PsychicAccess.com and UberRadioNetwork.com, and we will be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
Oh, welcome back to the show, everyone. We are speaking with Colette Baron-Reed this evening, and she's talking about her book, The Map. So, Colette, tell us a little bit more where the landscape. I think we wrapped it up before the commercial. You're talking about being the observer rather than I am type.
Well, there's this, you know, here's another thing. Everybody is so scared right now. And, you know, look what's going on right now in Japan, for example. And then you have people like, God bless her soul, a friend of mine, I don't know if she still wants to be friends with me, but I don't believe the world is going to end next year, okay? So you know, there's this whole, you know, ooh, something bad is about to happen, a big tsunami is going to come and wipe us all out. Now, you know, you'll hear things on the news like the dollar is going to drop. I mean, there's so much anxiety and angst. There has to be a way for us to somehow neutralize our emotions without thinking about them or therapeutically talking about them. And so this process that I have really, really works very quickly. It's a 3-minute miracle. Seriously, you can say, ask yourself 3 questions. Where am I? When am I? And who am I listening to at any given moment? Mm-hmm. If you're stressed or overwhelmed, you know, you'll say, am I listening to the voice of fear? You have a goblin that can speak to that. If I'm not in the now time, and if I'm over-anticipating doom and gloom of the future and freaking out over it, we're not in the now, so that's a when. And it's, where am I? You say, okay, where am I right now? Because half the time when we're experiencing so much of this fear, we aren't in our bodies, are we?
No, of course not.
Yeah. So, you know, and with all this global knowledge now that we really know for the first time in human history today what's going on the other side of the world. That wasn't the case years ago. Well, mind you, with the telepathic indigenous peoples, it was to some degree. But, you know, this is the first time where globalization is becoming something that's affecting us all at a psychic level, at an intuitive level, at an emotional level, and at a physical level. And so being the observer or getting into a place where we could look at our lives very differently, since we can't really judge ourselves based on our outer conditions, it's really the internal condition that dictates our health, right? Not the outer. So perfect example is those guys who could live in a cave and eating rice for years and come out really healthy and young looking, except they have long hair and they haven't bathed, right? So
right.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Absolutely.
So it's a yogic technique that's fun to do that can really help people de-stress and get back to the now moment. And it's fun.
Well, let me ask you your perspective on this, because from my understanding and my study as well, I definitely agree with your saying, you know, the inner world. But the outer world, is that not a reflection of our inner world? Would you agree with that?
I mean, you can't really, which one came first, the chicken or the egg? Exactly. I mean, you're 100% right. For example, environmentalism is a perfect example that because we have forgotten our relationship to the natural world, we are now seeing the results of it external to us. Mm. So which came first? Was it that we all of a sudden stopped being stewards of the earth? So that was a choice. That was a mental choice. That was an internal choice and with external results. So like even reality creation, you know, which came first? Was it that we created that reality? Did that reality show up as a reflection of us? So you can't separate the two. You're right. But you also, like, I can't make an impact on my outer world if I'm freaking out.
Right. And how do we, you know, and it's this collective consciousness, mm-hmm. you know, for example, like we could, in our little world, you know, in our immediate life, we can certainly make those changes, but you know, it's like this is global, you know, in this time that we're living in now. It's, you know, we're here, you know, as the pioneers to make a difference going forward. So, you know, I feel personally these kind of catastrophes of unfortunate events that are coming up are, you know, Mother Earth, as she's, you know, crying or she's yelling out, you know, hey, listen, something's going to happen because, you know, people are taking advantage or abusing, you know, me. Would you feel that? As well, you know, as far as like why kind of these things are happening.
When the oil spill happened, I couldn't get out of bed for 3 days. I was such a mess, and you know, and I react to this too. I mean, I have a deep emotional reaction in response to what's going on in the world. But I also know too that that the global consciousness has to be affected by many imaginal cells, right? Like the imaginal cells of the butterfly. That's how the butterfly is turned. It comes from a caterpillar because these little cells have a better idea. And these pure, incredible cells that we have to become in order to make the shift for the transformation. And we cannot make the big shift unless we become that being that can transmit that. So it has to come from the individual. And so the trick is not to be overwhelmed by the collective right now. And that's what I'm trying to talk about, is that our individual world has to, you know, like our little tiny worlds need to be tended to so that we can be, and sometimes it means to be generous and pay attention to others, but we can't do it for the whole planet at once, otherwise we'll go mad. Like, I have to pick a charity. Like, today I gave money to, you know, people in Japan that were helping animals because I'm an animal fanatic, right? So I have to pick mine, otherwise I won't get out of bed. You know what I'm saying? Right, we have to find something to do, but it's not so much that we'll be overwhelmed. Otherwise, we can lead no one.
Right. And that's a good point. You know, it's like, you know, we all like, I want to save the world and I want to make a big difference. But, you know, it's taking those, you know, chunking it down, you know, starting with simple steps, because they do make a difference in the bigger picture. And I think sometimes we're just like, is what I'm doing really going to make a difference for one person? But it does, because we're all linked in, you know, we're all connected. So
that's why they call that website LinkedIn. It's true because we are all connected. It was very interesting because it's a corporate site, but it was like, yeah, wow, what a great name, because it's true. We are all linked in. And, you know, and there'll be times, especially now with, especially people who are clairsentients. I'm actually teaching a seminar called Weight Loss for People Who Feel Too Much, April 5th, because it's a lot of people their bodies are going out of control too. It's like, because they can't cope with the amount of emotions coming through them. So when we get overwhelmed by the bigger collective and we can't cope, we can't do anything in the small. We end up hurting ourselves too. So we have to find some balance between that tremendous compassion and empathy for the big world and our ability to affect any change at all. After we've been so overwhelmed, we just want to put a blanket on our heads and eat a whole cake in the closet. Right?
So. A pint of Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, Ben and Jerry's, exactly. You know, hanging out with Ben and Jerry. I'm not going out. I'm meeting Ben and Jerry tonight.
Oh, yes. That is too funny.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and it's a very scary time. I mean, on one day I wake up, I feel like, what an exciting time to be alive. And today, I got to be honest. You know, I looked at these pictures of these old people, these elderly people in Japan, and I'm seeing these two dogs. One wouldn't leave the owner, and the other one, I'm seeing all these photographs, and I just sat there and started to cry. You know,
it's so hard. And it's like, how do you disengage from that? Because it's everywhere. You know, it's almost like a catch 22. It's like we want to make a difference, but we're bombarded with this information. It's so overwhelming. You know, people who aren't even aware of their sensitivity.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I know. I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't know. I just think right now, especially those of us who do this for a living, you know, we have to really make sure we are well taken care of, that we do take downtime, that we do eat properly, that we don't let ourselves burn out, because we won't help anybody. You know, and I have to curtail how much news I watch now too. I just can't take it. After a while, I just say, you know what? I got 6 readings to do tomorrow. I need to take a salt bath and read a crappy magazine for a few minutes, because I need to detach. You know, it's this rapid fire evolution. And then you get, I don't know, I mean, you guys, but I get so much stuff from people who are now, one person saying, you know, well, the program is just going to turn off and at some point the tsunami is going to come and the world's just going to go poof. Oh. And, you know, no, I'm not kidding. It's like, and there's millions of people around the world are starting to buy into this. And I'm like, oh my God, like, how helpful is this? Right? So what's going to happen? You know, and if we want to believe stuff like that, then, you know, go wait for your program to turn off, right? So,
right.
I gotta, you know, we gotta be compassionate and love other people and try to help heal this planet, but one step at a time.
Absolutely. And it's so important, you know, just starting with ourselves where we're at, you know, taking the time, like you said. Interesting you mentioned, you know, the kind of the sea salt bath and things. What can people do if they're not even sure, you know, if they're trying everything, even therapy or whatever, and they're just like, I'm still not shaking this? Do you have any suggestions for people,
Colette? Well, I love that you brought up the thing that I should suggest. Very good. You must be psychic.
Thank you.
Maybe a little. Yes. As a matter of fact, actually, in my class, in my weight loss for people who feel too much class, part of the curriculum is every single day you have to take a salt bath without fail. And that, and I'm telling you, if you do this by the fourth day in a row and you got to sit in it, soak in it for 20 minutes, if you can do that every single day, if you have the luxury to do it, what a difference it makes. Because salt actually helps detoxify the electromagnetic field. So it pulls out all that, I call it the psychic junk that we end up collecting like lint throughout the day. And it just ends up puffing us up and makes us feel overwhelmed. So the salt bath actually really does start to help after a few days. The other thing is to get off animal products. And that's a little controversial what I'm going to say. If you're going to eat them, make sure you don't eat food from factory farms. You don't want to eat fear. So, you know, you want to know where, you know, if the meat was humanely killed or if the fish wasn't farmed. And, you know, eating less animal products also really helps, you know, eating more organic vegetables and a more plant-based diet really does help get you more grounded and more, you know, less, like, again, you get that, you just get less sensitive. Same thing with, you know, trying to avoid processed foods or chemicals and things like that. That also really helps. And drinking a ton of water, helps. Now, and these sounds like physical things, but it really does. It really helps.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay.
I heard this suggestion before, like for people who, let's say their, you know, their budget is tight. It's like, oh, I just don't have that kind of money to pay for these organic things. And mm-hmm. I get it. It is healthier and it is probably a lot better. But one thing that I heard was that you could, what's the word, you know, kind of set an intention because it's the energy in the food. So
absolutely.
Could you do some sort of clearing or praying or, you know, before you eat the food if you're not able to go organic?
Yes.
Go organic.
Yeah, and actually, yes, you're 100% right. And that is a really good point. And normally when I have got my I'm not so tired, I would remember that because there's lots of people who like to eat meat too. So, you know, and I used to eat quite a bit of meat, but I used to visualize and just say I thank the food for the sacrifice. Whatever had to die for me, I really imagined it and said thank you to it. Just like the Native Americans used to do before they slaughtered an animal, and they would use every part of that animal. Even the leather purse, as I just say thank you, whatever. I'm really grateful to this animal for giving this to me. And I do that with organic cheese. I actually do that even with the fish and the organic because I started eating fish again. But I will always, always say thank you. And I do the infinite love and gratitude that Dr. Darren Weissman, you know, does his little, you know, hand signature over the food. My husband and I do that. So, oh yeah, I mean, you set an intention that food is going to be nutritious for you. And I will Reiki the food sometimes if I feel like I remember. Yeah, you can do anything. As long as you set the intention that food is going to be nutritious and you're present to it. But again, you can only do so much on a chemical, right?
Right.
So, you know, you can't really pray over Velveeta cheese. Maybe you can. I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying.
We'll do an experiment.
Maybe you could. I guess it could work. But you're right. It's 100% right. Is if you can't afford those things, you know, you definitely can just set an intention and be very grateful, and it really will make a difference.
Yeah, I'm very big and passionate about words, you know, the energy behind the words and communicating and things like that. So I always tell people, you know, you just got to put it out there and say it and own it. You know, but like you're saying, the words, you know, those intentions, but, you know, choosing ones that feel right for you, not just like, okay, I still feel guilty, but I'm going to do it anyway. Like, it's almost defeats the purpose. So really coming from that place of, you know, being authentic. So if you're not feeling it yet, then wait till you do.
Yeah. And being authentic means surrendering to the truth, just surrendering to your truth. You know, I have a girlfriend who's so, like, very, very spiritual, and she's great. She's a real rock and roll chick, and she's just got so much authenticity. And boy, oh boy, does she like her meat. And she's like, you know, and that's the way it is. And she's taught me a lot of humility when I was sitting on my, I'm a vegan, right, for a minute or two. Like, I'm so spiritual. Look at me now. Mind you, it helped me with my mediumship with animals. But still, it was like, she's like, no, you know what? I always say thank you to my burger. Thank you, burger.
Right. And it's fun, though. It's probably like, you know, if you have kids, you can do that and almost get away with it. But that is pretty funny, actually. I'll do that next time.
Yeah, that's really funny.
But listen, we're getting close to the end of the interview. I can't believe how fast it went, Colette. Tell a little bit about what's going on with you this year. You got some workshops and classes and teachings.
Yep. I do. And by the way, we're just about to announce all the winners. We are giving away a day with me. We had this big launch for my book, The Map, which, by the way, is still on sale. Hello. Please get it if you haven't got it yet. It's so good. We're giving away 5 readings, a day with me, and I'm putting together a seminar in Portsmouth this summer, which I'm going to announce. It's a one-day seminar based on the map. So I have... in Chicago, I'm going to be at the, the Infinity Foundation. Then I'm at I Can Do It Toronto. I'm going to do the online class called Weight Loss for People Who Feel Too Much. I was a good 85 pounds heavier than I am now and have kept my weight off for about 15 years. So by doing this program, then I'm showing people. And then after that, I'm doing Psychic 2.0 Boot Camp at Omega, and I'm doing something with John Holland, and I'm going to do something again with John Holland. So it's busy. And, oh, I have
wonderful.
Another 2 books.
Well, good. You know, I'm not far from Omega. I've been there several times. So right. That's coming up in June, I believe.
June is me and Dougal Fraser, who's hilarious. You have to have him on your show. Dougal Fraser, me, John Holland, and Danielle McKinnon. And then I have my own weekend called Psychic 2.0 Boot Camp at the end of July. And that's going to be, everybody gets a certificate of that they have completed the Psychic 2.0 Boot Camp with me.
All right. Well, wonderful. Listen, and everybody, please go to Colette's website, ColetteBaronReed.com, and all that information's on there, Colette, correct?
Thank you. Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much for your taking the time out of your very busy day. Get some rest, and thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, me too. God bless you, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, sorry, we had a little pause there. That was
great.
A lot of fun. Yeah. Come join
really
Europe. let me just make a quick few announcements, and then we'll just jump right in. Be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Excuse me. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to Psychic Access. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends and family to join us in the chat room and listen to The Psychic View. There's something for everybody. So we encourage you to spread the word if you so desire, but we certainly encourage that. I'll give you the call-in number now. We are not taking callers for another probably 20 minutes or so, but if you want to write it down and keep it next to you, 724-444-4851. You will be placed on hold, so just hang on, but don't call in yet. So, anyway, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi. A wise teacher once gave you a process to help develop your intuition and tell your clients about it. Can you explain this to everybody?
Yeah. Well, she said, this was a long time ago, and she said to take a
some of the playing cards. They say that playing cards, all the secrets are in the playing cards. You know, the typical bicycle deck. And to throw out the jokers, because they'll tease you, you know, and shuffle them all up. Don't touch them. And then start guessing red, black, red, black. And find out where it's coming in your body. Like, where is the correct information coming from? Where is the other information coming? And it was. I tell my clients that when they're asking how to develop their psychism, because it really works. Kind of
so
cool.
The cards are face down, and you're kind of playing a guessing game. Is that how?
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, where is it coming from? So like when you get it right, did it come from your gut? Did it come from your stomach? Like, you know, how does it feel when it's right versus how does it feel when it's wrong? You know, just sort of get to trust your intuition.
Okay, that's interesting because Colette was saying, you know, trust where it shows up in your body. So that's
what you're being taught through the cards. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Very good.
You're welcome.
Very good. Maureen, welcome.
I'm here. Hi.
Hi. I have a question for you, Maureen. Can you tell us about the goddess Bast?
Yes, and I wanted to mention that when we began these shows, going on almost a year now, everybody, this show's been going on almost a year, and during that time, I was the woman in charge of doing the goddesses for something that would pertain to the theme of the show. So, interestingly enough, we stopped doing that, but so this is one... I remember this one. That's why I wanted to share it with you for this show, because she is a goddess that pertains to intuition. And it goes like this. but I wanted to let you know why I decided to do this, because I became quite the goddess researcher. But Bast is an ancient Egyptian goddess, and her origins go back to a time long before cats were domesticated in Egypt. So it is believed that her form originally was not a domestic cat, but some other feline. Possibly a lioness or a leopard or a cougar. I added that. Okay. As opposed to other Egyptian gods, not much is known about her. But that's okay, because a lot of people would know of her. You know, haven't you ever seen the goddess head of a cat with a woman's body? Many people have always seen that. Have you, Jackie? Maybe not.
I think so. Maybe not recently, but I think I have an idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, a lot of people would know this goddess, because there's less, you know, people buy these statues and or whatever. But anyway, she was the goddess of Lower Egypt, and her scarce animal, of course, is that of a cat. And cats were scarce in Egypt because they destroyed the mice population, which threatened the food supply of vital grains. So cats, the fact is, cats were valued so much during that time that when a house was on fire even, the cats were carried out first. And then if there was time...
What happened to women and children?
No, it was a different time. If there was still time, the people were saved afterwards. So cruelty against a cat... this is interesting stuff. Cruelty against a cat or killing one was a crime punishable by death. So this, you know, she carries a pretty high thing. So the thing, also when cats were, when they did expel, that's the best way of looking at it, die, they were all actually embalmed, which was a costly process during that time, normally reserved only to royalty. So you can imagine this goddess got some pretty good, you know, she was pretty cool. So anyway, the story goes on about her that she was said to be capable of great generosity to her devotees, yet she could be cruel as well. And the neo-pagans often make the mistake of thinking of Bast as a cuddly kitty goddess. Well, she's not. while it's true that she is a goddess of dance and music, she is also a dark goddess of the underworld, goddess and destroyer of evil. So, I wanted to make it clear that what her thing was, her energy is lunar rather than solar, and she's a goddess of intuition and can enter into our dreams. She helps us to access the underworld and face our deepest issues and fears. Now, a lot of the stuff that Colette was talking about symbolically kind of goes into some of the stuff that the Bast reflects and, you know, symbolically mm-hmm. speaking. And so she demands, Bass demands total devotion and can at times be very demanding. She's very loving, like I said, to the people that are devoted to her. But what is necessary for their growth? That's what she's very concerned about, even if it means giving them pain to shake them up. So she's, I mean, come on, I love this goddess. She was one of my favorite. But so the thing is, so her deal is a true healer needs to, well, her thing was transformation is often preceded by destruction. So the tree destroys the seed. A true healer needs to be able to harness destruction energy. If some conditions and problems cannot be overcome without destruction of the opposing force. And so the thing of it is, she is completely, in a lot of ways, how I see her to be. This is what our intuition is, or coming into our intuition, or being aware of it. So there you have it. I hope everybody learned something interesting.
Well, that was a great analogy, and thank you. That was a lot of fun. You always bring a lot of fun to the show. So
yeah, I sure do.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Anyway, Steve, are you with us now?
I am with you now, yes. I bought a new headset, and it's been working wonderfully all week. Logged into the show, and it stopped working. So I'm now on my old headset, but I'm here.
Oh, okay,
it was a wonderful show. You did a wonderful job interacting with Colette. she's wonderful, but you are too.
Oh, well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. And before I ask you a question, please, let's just backtrack and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. We unfortunately didn't get to hear that in the beginning. So,
well, thank you, Jackie. My name's Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium, originally from the UK. I am actually in the UK this week visiting clients and family, but I live in the USA, and I give readings on psychicaccess.com.
Okay, wonderful. So, Steve, when did you first become aware of the power of intuition?
I would say I first became truly aware of the power of intuition in my teens. So in my teenage years, when I was giving readings, or started to give readings properly, and it really developed for me when I was in my 20s, when I, particularly working in different businesses and being encouraged to look at personality type, I realized that intuition was a very important part of my personality type. And then I looked back and realized that I have always made a lot of decisions based purely upon intuition. I bought a property that I hadn't seen simply because I had felt the urge to do it. And I'm not suggesting that people should do that, but I did, and it worked out very well for me. And I've just had many situations in life where I've made decisions purely on intuition, and I would say 99% of the time those decisions work out to be good decisions.
Right. So this funny idea came to me. It's kind of like the blind date. You know, it's you're not that you're really blind, but it's you're trusting something you don't see. And that's a tough thing to swallow for a lot of people. But that's a great story, Steve. And to say that you let your intuition lead you most of your decisions, and it never failed you, you know, and never would. But you knew enough that it was, you know, what you were listening to was correct.
Absolutely. And I do balance. I have another question later on that talks about, that's about, you know, the balance. So I'll talk about that later on. But I do encourage people to think as well as just work intuitively. But I would say, even when we've thought something through, if our gut feel says no, don't do it, or no, don't go on that date, then always listen to that gut feel.
Right. Even if it doesn't make any sense, and other people say, oh, but it's okay. He or she's this and that, you know, and if it's rubbing you the wrong way, you got to go with it. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Always listen to intuition. Always listen to spirit.
That's right. Well, thank you, Stephen. And that makes a lot of sense. So we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay. And Sharon, welcome back.
Hi.
What are those special words you give your clients when they don't seem to get answers from spirit, even though they're asking over and over and over? I had that extra over.
Yeah. A lot of clients come and they go, I keep asking. They're not telling me. I can't hear, you know, or, you know, I'm trying. Honest, I'm trying, you know. So I tell them, I say, You can ask spirit. You can be a little strong with spirit. And I always say to ask them to be crystal clear so that you don't miss it. You know, you can talk to them and you say, I'm not getting it, so can you please make it crystal clear? And I think that sometimes puts them in more of a power position, because I think sometimes they're scared, like they're listening but they're a little bit scared. So do you find that with your clients also?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask, would it be helpful to suggest like one thing I say make it obvious so I don't miss it, you know?
Yeah.
Because
same thing.
Yeah, and I think sometimes two people may feel that, you know, they're expecting it to show a certain way. So also saying, hey, surprise me, make it obvious. You know, things along those lines, but definitely
yeah.
We can ask and we gotta get out of the way. I mean, what do you find that most
sure.
of the lights are in the way?
Yeah, or they're just like, they're staring right at it, and they're saying, I can't see. Well, stop saying that, right?
Yeah, because you're literally putting that out there, I can't see. Well, hello, you're not going to see then.
Yeah, it's like when you go to get the salt, and the salt's right in front of you, but you're saying, I can't find it. It's the same sort of thing, you know?
I know, isn't that funny how we do that? And it's like, if it was a snake, it would have bit me.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, that's fun.
Well, thank you for that, and very good advice. So if anybody is wondering why they're not getting an answer, you know, certainly take a little of those steps here that Sharon suggested. So
yeah, thanks.
Okay, thank you. And Maureen, hello.
I'm here.
Okay.
I just don't go anywhere.
I know you did. Oh, that story was hysterical, though. The cat taking them out of the fire. So,
goddesses are pretty cool nowadays. Well, they have been for a while now.
Yes,
but
they
come
are.
Come on. You better be watchful.
So, Maureen, how do you feel wisdom and knowledge is related to intuition? Is there a link for you on that?
Yeah, well, you know, Well, are you aware that there is a big difference between knowledge and wisdom, Jackie?
I don't know. Enlighten me.
Well, believe it or not, this information, what I found, it definitely has affected my life. So there is a big difference between knowledge and wisdom. And I will go into that. So simply stated, what I'm trying to say is knowledge comes from our wonderful minds that we all have, and it is learned information and referred to as our intelligence. So the mind is logical. We all know this. There I go with my, my Atlantis, I can't talk. Programmable, you know, program. And is our left brain. So the dictionary says it. As well, understanding based on experience, it is like a limited computer because it only knows what you program into it. So it does not originate new information, but it is great for recording it and passing it on to others. So in contrast, wisdom comes from our spirit. From, you know, everyone has a spirit. I know this to be true, except some extraterrestrials maybe did. But it is not it's not able to be programmed, so it stems from our right brain. We all know about left and right brain. So unlike knowledge, it is not learned. So wisdom is intuitive information that is unlimited. So we receive messages from our inner knowing, vision and words, and gut feeling, just like what Colette was talking about. So and also all creativity comes from our intuition. And this has to do with art, artists and music and inventions. And our brilliant doctors and scientists, all that stuff comes from intuition as well. So we have an inner wisdom expressed through one or more or four ways of receiving intuition. So it goes beyond logic and beyond the physical, and that is why it is called metaphysical. So if only it gets a little bit new agey, but if only one believes what we see with our physical eyes or ears, we're using our knowledge but not our higher wisdom. And I'm sorry, I got a little bit lost there. And I'm back. I had the knowledge and wisdom to come out. So what I guess
what I'm trying to, I'm hopefully trying to convey mm-hmm. to everybody so they can understand, because there's been a lot of questions in the chat room about this or that. Now, this is just my personal thing about this, but besides time and energy, your wisdom can also save your life. And, you know, even looking at the 9/11, what went on, there were many stories I heard, I'm sure everybody else had heard, about people who did not go on their scheduled flight for no logical reason, or when they heard the news of the plane crashing, where they were grateful that they had listened to their intuition. And it also goes for people that didn't. It breaks my heart thinking about that time period. But those are you know, examples. And, you know, you can also own your all-wise, all-knowing wisdom. And that goes right into the recent blog I did, which I had a lot of passion about, that had to do with no guides, no angels, just me. Because people, even in the chat room, were talking about that. And I am going to address that, because this is the thing. For me, and I'm not just, you know, I'm not saying I don't, I respect anybody that talks about they're getting information from their guides. But for me, it's like my readings are conducted in a deep desire to share what I must, but also a calling and a duty to rely this information to others, what I feel, see, and hear. And Colette mentioned, she touched on that a bit too on the interview. I could identify. So I see things in like a slow motion movie, 1930s. Jackie, you have a question?
Yeah. No, I'm listening to you, and I really appreciate your sharing that, because I think people get caught up on the label of, well, what is it that's coming through, you know, what do I call it, and it's an individual experience, and we can just guide you, you know, and that's why I guess guides, you know, per se, or on that term, is very universal, because that's what it is. It's about trusting yourself and what you receive and what you are hearing, sensing, feeling, you know, all the clairs. And that's okay. See, I think people are so wrapped up in what's out there and different teachings and things like that. And that's great. It's certainly a place to start. But ultimately, it comes back to yourself and feeling confident and comfortable with what you're receiving and taking ownership of that and saying, well, this is what I'm going to call it because that resonates with me.
Or it's the truth. For instance, like, yes. She was talking about the truth and the ego, and that was a great exercise for her. And I started thinking about, there are a lot of people that find it very easy for them to lie about what even the truth is. But you know, so when I read for some people, that's a good point when you bring up. A lot of them will ask me, what are your guides telling you? A lot of them really want me to tell them I have guides talking to me so I could give them the responsibility or say to them, well, that's what my guide says, it's not to do with me. But I could easily claim that I my guides are saying this or my angels are saying this to me, but that would be a lie. So I get my stuff, for lack of a better word, from my heart, which right. then opens me to inner vision, hearing, feeling, and all that. And I guess my angels and guides are happy with me doing that from of what course. I do, since it is all that I know. So until they tell me otherwise, I will allow God to work with me in his own mysterious ways. So that, and right. Anton, thank you for that revision of my blog. But I have a lot of, I'm very passionate about getting that out. So man. If anybody's listening, so there you have it.
Oh, thank you, Maureen. And we're going to, on that note, we're going to just jump into our commercial break. A word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com and UberRadioNetwork.com. So stay tuned.
Hello, my name is Rez Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Hi, welcome back to the Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. We are having our chit-chat here. What's the word that we were using?
Banter.
Banter. Thank you, Maureen. Banter. I was at a loss for words, but so we're doing our little bantering here. And let me just give that number out. 724-444-4851. We're going to be taking readers in about now, I think. So Sorry, Steve, we're not going to get to your question.
No problem.
Okay. But we're going to take our first callers from Texas, and Maureen will be giving you a reading. Welcome to the show, Texas. Hi. Okay. Are you with us? California?
Oh, good. I get one from my own state.
There you go. Hi, do we have somebody on the line from California? If you're on mute, we can't hear you.
Oh, I don't have a mute.
Oh, well, thanks.
Hi, there I am.
Hi. Go ahead. Maureen's going to give you the reading this evening.
It's delayed on.
Hi from California. What's your name? This is Maureen, by the way.
Hi, Maureen. This is Chris.
And it's Maureen. Chris, hi, Chris. I'm always cracking up because a lot of people don't call from California, and I'm in California. So, hi, Chris. And what can I focus on you?
That's funny. You sound like my roommate.
Really? Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Maybe I am. No, I don't live there.
I would know.
I'm ready for you. What can I help you with?
Okay. It's funny you guys are talking about intuition and listening to your inner voice. And I have this convenient way of ignoring my inner voice and blaming it on logic or something. And, and then I look back and I remember that funny sick feeling that I had. And it's always that weird pit of your stomach feeling that says, oh, this isn't going to work out very well, or this is, you go ahead and do it, but it's going to be a real challenge, you know, in the end and stuff. So I tend to slam into walls a lot. And right now, I've called you guys before, but this time I'm in a real painful situation right now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm in several difficult situations, but I mean, it's like this thing that's going on in Japan. I feel guilty saying that I can almost empathize with the feeling of loss and confusion and wondering whether there's light at the end of the tunnel. I've been just really tortured over what they're going through and just, you know, not even being able to imagine their pain. And while that's happening, so many things are happening here on the forefront, all these friends having all these issues. But it kept getting closer and closer and closer to home. And now I've got a situation I don't know quite how to simplify.
I kind of get the feeling what you're talking about. Because, and also, let me tell you something. I can speak for myself. I know it's hard when there's so much stuff going on for these wonderful, beautiful people that have been hit with this terrible disaster. And at the same time, it makes you feel like, well, you really shouldn't be asking about your, but we all are important. And I think that they would want us also, you know, a lot of us go through loss.
Well,
and stuff.
That's like true. You can't help other people if you're not taking care of your own situation.
That's right. And that's a good thing. And I've been told that because I was a caregiver and that's the same thing. If I don't take care of myself, I can't help others.
Yep, me too. I was a caregiver too, and I got sick, and it didn't go very well for the patient who happened to be my mom.
I see your mom. You know, I see your mother energy around you. As a matter of fact, you bring that up. Now, I want to ask you, Chris. Is you were a caregiver for your mother? You said, the primary caregiver.
Yeah,
Yeah, I got you. It was perfect timing. You a perfect situation. It always works out. You got me as a reader because is she still here? She's around, right?
No, she's gone.
Okay, she's gone. But I do see her. Very positively, good energy. Now, I don't know how the experience was, and I could only imagine because of what I can identify with you, what you know why. And I just see her looking very positive, or maybe you're looking at it and realistically in a very more positive way of her. That's a little bit out there, and I'm going a little bit in between worlds. But I do get that there's been so much commotion in the past. I could see around anything to the group of people and you know, like work or people, whatever. And also
anybody involved in your life closely on a different level are non-committal or wishy-washy, and it almost like you feel like you don't have any control of what's going on in your life, or you're not in control of your life. I'm not saying that that's the case, but I just feel that there's, you want more of a tradition. I get a feeling that there's more, you want more of a peace. You want some peace. You want traditional, you want some good traditional. And it's interesting. What I'm saying by this is, for me, because I know we're talking about intuition as well, but for me, and I'm very traditional, but I'm very unconventional, if you can understand what that means.
I totally understand that, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And people do, like, how can you be that way, you know, who I am, and I'm eccentric.
Around my friends.
It's perfect. So for you, this is the key I'm getting. It's really you're focusing on, and it's really hard because people, because you do run, you do run in a different vibration, which is much higher, which is very good and very positive. But it does feel like to me that you've been indecisive about some things, and I'm not clear on exactly what they are, but about getting yourself feeling
everything.
Like you have control of what direction you're going in. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Professional, you know, as far as like my...
Everything to do with...
My goals, you know?
Yes.
And also relationship. Right
yes.
now, both of them are, you know, those are the, like kind of pretty much the two big things. I mean, I used to do tarot readings and stuff, and I know everybody would walk in, and it would be, does he love me? And am I getting a good job? You know, and here I am in the weirdest love situation you can ever imagine, and I have no idea whether I'm supposed to... You know how you get, here's the big question. You get people who will say, well, if a brick wall jumps in front of you, it's a hurdle. You jump over it. And, you know, these are hurdles. You jump over them, they make you stronger. I understand that about life. Bad things happen. You tackle them, you move forward, you get stronger and you from doing that, and then you handle the next higher hurdle. But how do you know the difference between those and the things that are going, don't do it, don't do it? They all look the same to me, you know?
Well,
and I'm in a situation now where I can't tell if it's a hurdle or a brick wall because it seems like the end of the road and I got to turn and I don't know which way.
Well, you know what? I know the whole thing about, and I hate the P words, persevere, be have patience, and blah, blah, blah. The thing of it is, a harder pains and sorrows are better rewards, and that's, you know, I know all about that, and it torments me so much because I wish I was in denial. The best place to go is crawl under a rock and go in denial. But I'm not telling you to do that, but the thing of it is, I feel very strongly that there's going to be completion coming up for you with a lot of things. It does look like you've made a decision to do some changes big time. I can see that. And I don't know who you're involved with, but it looks like you're about ready. I see you freeing yourself, liberating yourself, and it's right coming up in the spring months. And it looks like there may be some changes, or it may be that you're going to step back, especially in the relationship stuff. You're going to step back and maybe try to reconnect, but you'll step back from it because there hasn't been some decisions made on the other end, but you still will feel a sense of liberating. You'll feel liberated. Also, but it's going to be difficult for you in the next, it will be difficult, Chris, but I feel that this is good stuff because it's almost like, it can't, because this is called the work, I call it. And the thing of it is, people around the work or your career and stuff, no longer will you participate in all the crazy making. It's about you. And I think that's the best thing. I mean, don't underestimate yourself. I think you're doing quite well. Things are what they are. It is what it is. But I think you're realistically seeing things very clearly, more so than ever. You're not hallucinating what's going on. You're very clear. But I think that you have made a decision about what you're going to do. It's just about, you don't know exactly putting it into the intellectual wordings and terms of, you know, a business plan.
Yeah.
How you're going to do it. Now,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I see this relationship
kind
that
like
you're talking about.
On a trip, I don't know which vehicle to take or if to take a vehicle or where to go. But I know that
I'm
going on a trip.
What I feel is you need to stand strong about your traditional, like I said, you know what you don't want, okay? And I think that you need to be really clear about the crazy makers. You don't need everybody giving you insight about what you should or should not do. I feel that this is a time where you're going to be going through some revelational type of things, but there is completion, and I do feel you're gonna free yourself. Now, that could mean that you might be deciding to go another direction with your relationship and your career, which is scary, but it's I see some such positive things. You'll have it. There's a choice up against. I see a choice coming up, and this is something that people say, don't do it. Listen to yourself. It's about being the dreamer. It's about risking and being enthusiastic and fresh ideas and new starts. Go for it. Risk, jump. Go for it, jump. Be fearless. And I see that coming up after around May time. And I think that what you should try to do is just kind of be in the now. And I know it's easy for me to say, and flow with what's going on. But I feel that what you're doing, even though if you're not aware of it, you're doing what I call the work. You actually are. You're not sitting there doing nothing about things. I think that you actually are doing quite well, even though it is a very difficult time. I don't see you doing anything other than that. So that you should give yourself some credit and know that you are doing the right thing. And sometimes it means just being still. And I see a really great opportunity for you, and by choice. There's just, and there will be a completion, but the completion also means a new beginning.
Okay.
So, your reading was pretty deep. I know I can't, because we're in the, you know, I can't go into it forever, and I'd like to, because I'm like that, but really, it is really good, and it is very deep. I know I can feel there's a lot of deep stuff. You're going to be okay, and it's not about brick walls. You don't need to be hurtling over brick walls anymore. You know, that's just not, yeah.
Right. Well, listen, yeah. Maureen, thank you, and thank you, Chris, for calling. We do need to move on, and Maureen is also available for private readings, so
thanks, Chris.
Please come
Take
back.
Care. Take
thank
care of
you.
Yourself.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Maureen. Okay, so we're going to try to get Texas back on the line, and Steve will be giving a reading. Do we have Texas back?
Yes, hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, Steve Frampton will be giving your reading this evening.
Hi,
Steve.
What's your name?
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, can hear you well. What's your name?
My name is Kim.
Hi, Kim. How can I help?
Hello. I host an intuitive development group on Monday nights in my home, and I have been together with about five of us now for about 8 months. And we do some practices and some exercises and healings as well, and I didn't know if maybe there's something else as far as intuition building within the group that you could suggest.
Okay. My guides are saying, firstly, that four of the five people in this group know each other very well. I know that in a development circle like that, you do get to know each other well, but it's almost as though four of the five people have a close connection. It's a closer connection than just randomly being in the group. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
And it's very important that the group recognizes that they are meant to be working together as a group. Because, Kim, you know, many, many years ago, if you read about the groups that would sit in the late 1800s and early 1900s, they would be groups of people that would sit together for years. And I know Colette was talking earlier on about how fast-paced our lifestyle and our society is. You know, we move on from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And to develop a close connection with circle, the energy is really, with spirit, the energy is really critical. My guides are saying to you that they really welcome this group because this is a group of people that genuinely cares about each other and their energy is very strong together as a group. And my guides are saying that you will even see some physical phenomenon, some physical mediumship starting to occur in that group. So it's important that you, as the leader of that group, learn as much as you can about how to do that safely and how to handle it when it happens, because you will start to see that. I believe quite strongly that we are going to start seeing a more physical mediumship again. I have no explanation for that other than it's what I feel very strongly and it's what my guides show me. So be prepared for that, and tell the group that spirit, really welcome them sitting together, that they want that group to stay together. Don't make changes to the group right now. It's important that the energy stays as it is, but that you allow spirit to do more and more work. My guide's also said, now I'm getting an initial B, and I feel like I'm talking about a Beth or an Elizabeth.
No, we don't have a Beth or an Elizabeth here.
But are you connected with a Beth or an Elizabeth in family? Because there is definitely a lady whose name is Beth. It's Elizabeth, but known as Beth. She passed in the 1950s, and she's very strongly connected to you or another female member of the group. And she works closely with that group. And you will know about her within 2 weeks. If you look at your family tree, you may well find her, but one of you will very clearly place her within the family tree, and you will see that she wants to work with you very closely, and she encourages you to test the spirits. Ask spirit for more information. Ask spirit for more evidence. Ask them to draw in closer. If you ask for those things as a group, spirit will not let you down. And they're very excited that you're doing this work, Kim. It's wonderful. You have wonderful healing ability as well. So don't forget your healing, your one-to-one healing, because you have a great ability when it comes to healing as well as the work with spirit, the mediumship, etc.
Yeah, okay? I was volunteering for the past year over at the Methodist Hospital on the cardiac unit, and so the floor, I was doing that, and I have visitors, and I just want to share one thing as far as physical evidence goes. When the ladies first came and I was introducing the Reiki to them, I asked for some evidence, you might say, and on top of my Reiki table, I had a velour blanket, and there were paw prints up there. There were child handprints, and there were actual real people, you know, like our size handprints on it. I wish we would have taken pictures, but all six of us at the time saw everything, and there was nothing like that before, so it's not the first time, but thank you for everything, Steve.
You're welcome, Kim, and just ask again. Your spirit wants to work with you. They want that. So you just ask and it will happen again, and all kinds of other things will happen. The small hands you see are a little girl called Alice, and she wears a blue dress, and you will get more and more evidence from her in that circle. So good luck to you, Kim. I'm very excited for you.
Thank
Go
you.
For it.
Thank you. You have a nice evening.
You too, Kim. Lots of love. Take care.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Steve. We're going to our next caller. Sharon will be taking this caller for the reading, and somebody from Virginia is on the line. Welcome.
Hi, this is Dee. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Is this Dee you said? Sorry.
Yes, Dee.
Oh, okay. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Great show.
It's a good show, isn't it? Great. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you have a question for me tonight?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I would like to know, do you see any job changes for me in regard to my current job or career, so to speak?
Okay, I immediately went 3 months forward, and I'm feeling from spirit that it just feels like you haven't been that happy lately at your work. Like, it feels like you're very good at your job. You're very, what's the word? You put your all into your job, you know? You're kind of old school that way, and you know the importance of having a job. The only thing is I'm seeing in 3 months that there is a change, but I'm feeling it's within the same company. I'm feeling that they're going to be offering you something. Is there like two buildings that you work for? Like, is there like two divisions or something like that?
Well, actually, I work from home 100%, so to speak.
Oh, you work from home. Now, is it for another company, though, or it's your own company?
No, it's for a company, but I work from home. I've been with them for 7 years, but I've had this assignment that I've been working from home for almost a year.
Okay, because I'm seeing you changing building. I mean, you wouldn't want to give up working at home because that's kind of nice. But I feel that there's another building that you're going to have to go to in order to do this new job. And it feels, Oh, I keep going, like I said, 3 months, which is what, March, April, May, June. Like, we're talking June, and I'm feeling it's a promotion. I'm feeling it's there's going to be a few people reporting to you, and it feels like lots of paper. Like, I feel like tons and tons of paper and people signing. And do you have anything to do with law or anything like that?
No, I work in finance. So there's a lot of paper.
Okay, sorry. I just feel like I feel papers being signed and tons of papers, which feels like a lot to me. But I am feeling like in 3 months you'll know for sure. And it feels like way more money. Like, it feels like they're just going to be saying, you know, this is the job for you. You can help other people. You can coordinate. And here's the extra money. And I see you really happy at it. And I do see you get to work home, but not as much. Like, not full time at home. And it just feels really good. Okay.
But it's for the same company. That's what you're saying. It's not a change.
Yes, it's not. You don't change companies at all. I'm not feeling that at all. I'm feeling like that they wouldn't let you go anyways, even if you try. I feel that they would try find a way to make you happy.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. That's good to hear. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. You take care of yourself.
Thank you, Sharon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, thank you for that. I just want to announce the number again for those that would like to call in, because we do have room for more callers. 724-444-4851. And there's a caller from Texas who I will be giving a reading for. So welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you doing this evening?
Hi. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great.
Okay.
My name
Please
is
tell
Kay.
Me your name.
Uh-huh. And what I was calling about is I've recently gone through some major life changes and moved across country and been doing a lot of work on healing myself through, you know, learning more about my intuitive gifts. And now I'm kind of at a crossroads. I'm about, am I in the right location? As far as in the Pacific Northwest, because that is currently where I'm living, and my career path, how can I use my gifts that I have coming into me to help other people, especially special needs children?
Mm-hmm. Okay, please tell me your name. I don't think I heard it the first time, so I apologize.
A-Y. K?
K-Y. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I'm getting. Here's what the guides are showing me. You're going to be teaching. I do feel it's your gifts of being spiritually open and communicating. You're going to be able to help these children come out of their shell. And I know it's hard because you mentioned special needs, but I do feel they hear you. You know, you're going to have this way of them listening and getting through to them. And it's really simple.
Okay.
It's just the words you use. It's the compassion, you know, the very soft gentleness, you know, they're emphasizing that, you know, that's the gift that you're going to bring and be able to reach them on a much deeper level. So I don't feel like it's anything you need to learn. It's more about reawakening that within you, and you've been doing that. Where you're at geographically right now is okay. I'm not picking up like, oh, you need to, you know, that's a bad match. So that's fine where you're at. So I would definitely just stay there for the time being. I mean, certainly things could change down the road, but I don't feel like that's something you want to do right now. There's still work for you to take care of where you're at there in the Northwest, Pacific Northwest. Definitely education, teaching, but your gifts, it'll be more obvious to you. You know, I feel there's still a sense of like, I don't know how to, what do I put, you know, what do I call myself? What do I say?
There's so much that I'm coming into all at once.
Yeah, and just, you know, take a step back. It's kind of the theme for this show tonight is, you know, being the observer. You know, when we're enmeshed and really looking at things so closely, it's hard to see. You know, if you think about looking at a TV, you know, like 2 inches in front of your face, you can't see it. So, energetically just say, you know, I'm going to step back a little bit. And if it helps, Kay, you could even write down, you know, some of the things that that you're good at. And one thing that they're asking is the closest friends that you have, the ones that you trust, the ones that will,
right,
you know, give you their honest but yet truthful opinion of you. Ask them. Say, what am I good at? Because, you know, people that we really communicate with and that we're close to, they're going to tell you things that you, number one, that you probably know already, but, you know, it's kind of nice to be reminded of it. Because there's a lot of things there, and I think when you see that and you put that all together, it's going to make sense. Everything is there. I mean, I just feel like it's on the verge, you know. It's just a matter of you seeing it for what it is, that you have everything you need. There may be some more, you know, learning that you need to do, but your core, the essence, you know, the foundation, so to speak, is already in place. Mm-hmm. It may just be bringing different understandings to educate yourself, but that's something you can do on your own. I don't feel that it's going to take much longer.
Okay, so you think that I'll possibly be able to start using,
yes,
these talents to help others, and should I get because I've taken a year off just to kind of, like I said, download, you know, myself emotionally, and now I need to start going back to work. And so I guess should I go ahead and just, you know, try throwing myself into doing some volunteer work and helping this to grow and get another job on the side to help support myself? And
mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely a possibility. And I do feel that, you know, everything's right here for you. But if that feels comfortable for you, if that's one more of a sense of security, I would not get a full-time job. I do like your idea of a part-time job, because it'll still give you that freedom to grow this business. And if you can, find something in the area of where you want to be that's going to support you. I mean, don't go into, you know, some corporate job and sit behind a desk, you know, but do find an area that will support, you know, so this way you'll still learn and you're able to grow at the same time, so you're not, you know, disconnecting with yourself, because a lot of people juggle two different worlds, and believe me, it's so difficult. So that would be ideal. And you can just put that out there. Just say, you know, listen, bring this to me. This is what I need. This is what I want. And just ask, you know, just put that out there. It's part of your journey to do this work, Kay. It really is. I mean, clearly the spiritual teachings are like jumping out at me. And you'll be guided each step of the way. But do your part as well. You know, you need to show up and take a part in your life, because
right,
it is your life.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's all new. Will I be doing a lot of this alone?
In the beginning.
Right now, it's just me and
in
my
the beginning. But it's not forever. But I would also perhaps, you know, network with people as well. Get involved with people who are, you know, in that sort of line of work and things like that. So that will help the sense of that you won't feel alone, because you'll have that supporting group, even though they won't be, you know, working for you or with you right now. But you'll have that as a springboard.
Okay. So
okay.
Would Reiki be a good thing for me to go ahead and do? I've signed up for classes. Reiki 1 and 2.
Right. Well, we do need to move on to the next caller, but if you're guided, I'd say go for it. I'm going to just leave you with that, okay?
Okay. Yeah, thank you very, very much. That helps.
You're welcome.
A lot.
Okay, have a good night.
Thanks. Evening. Bye-bye.
Sure. Good night. Okay, and we have time for another caller, Maureen from New Jersey.
Her name's Maureen from New Jersey?
Oh, no, it's Maureen getting a call from New Jersey. I hope.
That was good.
Hi, New Jersey. And that's where you are, Jeff. Yes.
You play like you had me. A California call.
Yeah. Hi, New Jersey. They had a movie like that, New Jersey girl. Yeah. Hi, New Jersey. I know she's there. He, she.
Are you with us, Jersey? Jersey girl? Jersey guy? Okay. How about Tennessee?
Another we're Steve. You know, it's funny. Where we're from. Hi, Tennessee.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? And what's your name?
My name is Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you? Hey. Oh, you said you're great. That's great. And what can I focus in on for you this evening?
I kind of have a similar thing going on, I guess, as the last caller. But I was just wondering if there was any advice for me as a way to kind of break off from I have kind of a corporate job and to go more into the area of, you know, healing and intuitive readings and such.
I love hearing this stuff, you know, because we're here. I mean, it's happening. It was always said to be, this would be the case, you know. Well, there's definitely incompletion tonight, which means new beginnings. You definitely, your sleep looks better, but you definitely are feeling, sometimes a self-imprisonment type of feeling. You need to let yourself go. You need to. Are you asking me if it's a good? I think you already know the answer what you're asking about. I feel definitely it's. Carl Jung said this: if we all just did the work that we're all supposed to do, it's real simple, but it's difficult for everybody to process. We would all be in a much better place in our society, really, and that's probably why I'm even talking to you about that, because you would take a corporate job to go into what you're supposed to do. And that's exactly what I see to be the case. Is that not so? I mean, is that kind of... I mean, I see this... you already know this. I mean, I see this very much so. And you will do fine. And it there'll be a time of unhappiness maybe for just a moment because you get it from the outside conditions of everybody saying, oh, that's ridiculous. Why would you do such a thing? But what's happening is, Jimmy, you're coming into a place where things, you're rebuilding your foundation. It's pretty good. It's going to be really intense the coming months for you because a lot of things will start not making sense. You don't know how to feel about whatever, but that will be a trigger that everything is going very well and you're rebuilding as your own foundation on your own values, morals, and believe everything, and nobody will ever take that away from you. And you are to do different work. There's no doubt about it. And you are to get out the messages that are needed for a lot of others. You'll help a lot of others. And bless the corporate world. I come from that family background too. But I hope that I don't know if that helped you. But I see you studying. You're on the right track. It's uncomfortable. But yeah, I see studying as a student would, you're getting knowledge.
It feels like I'm kind of doing what I'm supposed to do, but I know that I'm supposed to do something afterwards, like you said, but I feel like, I feel that after the draw of what's after it more than what I'm doing at the moment. But I guess, like you said, I just have to get through building that foundation of getting a secure type of living going or something.
Yes. Well, what I'm saying is, it's not that. It's almost like, you know, someone asked me before, okay, why do you do the work you did? It wasn't like I ever planned this. I didn't read a book. It just happened, and came after the thing that I'm getting with you is similar. It came after catastrophe hit me. And that's when it all dawned on me. Well, it took a while for it to dawn. And it was awful. It was an awful process because I was rebuilding and I was shunned from people and I was told I was crazy. Well, I always was anyway. But with you, what I'm trying to say is it's not so easy and cut and dry like that. And so people say, why do you do it? I said, because I must. Do you like it? I said, it doesn't have anything to do with what I like to do, but I do like my work because it is what I must do. To help. You know what? Do you follow me? So there's only so much you can do. I do see you breaking away because you cannot take this. People like you are not supposed to be doing what you're doing right now. And you could do anything you want, right? But you run in a different direction and it's time. You're coming up to the time where you're going to be, releasing from that and liberating into the work you must do. Sorry, but this is it. It's the stuff healing. It's that stuff. But it's all good, isn't it? And I think that if you put too much thought into it, it might confuse you. You know?
Yeah, I do feel a little confused by it. It's like this whole, and I do feel like there's something that I really have to do. I mean, it's that much of a draw inside of me to do, you know, healing work and to become some type of a communicator of some kind or something.
Right.
But somehow I'm not it yet. I guess I am it inside deeply, but
yes,
I mean,
you are. It's about what people are expecting of you and what dad's support will be, and you'll be lacking in support there about going that direction. Do you know that? That's where it's going to be difficult. But you can do it. That's where it's difficult, but you'll do it. But my suggestion to you is be in the now the best you can be. That will help with this process along. But I see this happening within the next year. You're going to be on your way. You'll be already on your way.
All right.
And I think it's fantastic because we need more people like you. We all need to, all of us collectively.
Wow, okay.
I hope that helped you. I hope you understand or followed me, okay?
Yeah, it has touched me. And I've got some great support kind of hiding in my life. They're like hiding in little cracks, and every time I kind of need something, these great people kind of pop out and
that's
hear me
great.
On, you know?
That's even better that you have those types that know your inner true authentic self and what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That's what really keeps me going. That's what really keeps
Absolutely.
Me going.
Absolutely. That is wonderful, because without that, you'd be ending up like me for too many years, tormented. But that is really the key. Very good point. I do see you as a student. I don't know if it's like a student getting knowledge and really soaking it in like SpongeBob would, because he's a sponge. And that's coming up around, it looks like November is when I see you really getting more serious about getting more insight about this, the spiritual side of direction, learning it and processing it. It's very good. It's very good. So there you have it. And I, you know, Jim, are you in the chat room? You're in the chat room, aren't you?
Yeah.
I thought you were in the chat room. Well, anyway, I think it's really great, and I see you doing very good. I see you doing much good, and this is what you're supposed to do. And it's only a matter of time where you're at. It's like when we change our major in college and we decide to go this direction. So you're heading towards your right major.
I'm changing
so
majors
to
mid-course there.
Yeah. So, thank you so much for calling, and I hope you followed me and I helped you. So, and I say my hat's off to you. If I had it on, my hat's off to you. Okay then. Well, thank you, Jimmy,
thank
for
you
calling.
Very much. Thank you.
And take thank care.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You too. Thanks very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Guys.
Okay. Have a good night. And that brings us to the end of yet another outstanding show. I wish to thank my co-host and our executive producer, Doug, for the man behind the scenes and always doing a wonderful job keeping the internet radio show like no other. Next week's show will be anchored by, is it Maureen, I hope?
Maureen, is it?
Yay! What can we look forward to, Maureen, next week?
Okay, I'm really excited. It's a little bit of a different show going on here, and it's called Return to the Land of Oz, and we all know what Oz, the Wizard of Oz, is all about. So the Wizard of Oz, unlike any fairy tale of its day, and L. Frank, I can't print Blum, I think it is, everybody. His story pertains to every one of us, as we all know. And its child heroine, Dorothy, was not a meek or mild victim, but one who transforms from, a dependent pleaser, and then she gains this spirit, this courageous and attitude. And I love the Wizard of Oz, you guys. We all do. So, well, I hope we all do. Anyway, and she finds herself in order. She finds a way to get home. So my guest is Dr. John Tamizo, and he has a new book, As You Follow the Yellow Brick Road, with Dorothy the Scarecrow, Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion, Returning to Land of Oz, and reveal the essential to let go of the past to open our heart and love again. It's going to be really great. And the book, he does workshops also, and he's phenomenal. He's also a neuroscience of the brain, and he's very educated. But the book that he has, I'm really focusing on this book. It's just fantastic because it was so symbolic, this book, when it was written story. It was much deeper than the fairy tale ever was. I know I got it when I was a kid, but it'll help talk about guiding us through our creativity and our imagination and our mind to solve problems and handle life's challenges. And it's going to be a fantastic show. I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent, excellent. And that's also on our website, psychicaccesstalkradio.com. I believe people can find out that information as well. But that's it, guys. Listen, the time went fast. Thank you all so much for being here this evening. And thanks, Doug, for keeping everybody squared away behind the scenes. And I wish everybody a good night. So let's all jump in and say goodbyes.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Jackie. Good night, wonderful show.
Good night, everyone.
See you next week.
Take care.
Night, night.